Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Today we're going to be taking a look at what it means to be a disciple of Christ and all that the authority and power that we have when we are moving in what God has called us to, and that is to bring salvation to a lost and dying world. Now, many Christians don't understand the full impact of the power and the authority that we have because of our salvation. And our salvation, of course, is through one person and one person only, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, Christians are not simply saved for heaven's sake, but they're also saved for God's purposes on earth. Let me remind you of what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what kind of power are we talking about? The original Greek for the word power in that verse is dynamis. And the Strong's Bible Dictionary defines it as miraculous power. So here's the question. Are you seeing miracles, signs, and wonders in your life? Now, I know that some would say that miracles, signs, and wonders petered out when Peter petered out. Now, this expression simply means that some believe today that when the last disciple passed away, signs, wonders, and miracles passed away. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. In our previous post, that was 127, we showed in the scriptures that God never changes. And in the post before that, that was 126, we showed in the scriptures that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Therefore, the scriptures that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever means that what was true in the New Testament is also true for us today. If only we would believe, and that is the key, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus said some powerful things in the Gospel of John that should encourage us to pursue the supernatural. Spiritually, when we talk about salvation, we understand that we are changed in an instant. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we make a sincere commitment to allow Jesus into our lives. Now, while our spirit is changed in an instant, our mind and soul are transformed over time. As we learn the scriptures of the Bible, we learn how to be led and directed by the Holy Spirit. We move step by step, faith to faith, to maturity in Jesus Christ. So maturity, obviously, is a process. We go from being a convert to Christianity, to a follower of Jesus, and then finally to a disciple of Christ. 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14, describes these changes or transitions from young children to young men to fathers. Our goal is to become mature Christians, rightly handling the Word of God. Scripture says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." That was 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, I need to make an important point here. There's a world of difference between knowing the scriptures and doing the scriptures. We don't want to be like the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day who were experts in the scriptures but failed to do the scriptures. For example, a Pharisee had to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. That was called the Torah. But many Pharisees failed to live up to the standards of the Torah. They expected others to adhere to the Bible, but they found ways to avoid the commandments of God for themselves. They created traditions and practices that voided the purposes of God. Now, Jesus called them hypocrites. He called them the blind leading the blind and sons of the devil. That's pretty harsh, but it's true. I remember meeting a gentleman who was had been a believer for ages, for much longer than I had, and he was an expert in the Word of God. But he was critical, he was sarcastic, He was mean-spirited. He had not allowed the Word of God to transform him into the compassionate, merciful person that we are all called to be. So we're called to be doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word. In Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, Jesus says the following: "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." The rock is being a doer of the Word. The rock being founded on the Word means we're doing what Jesus has instructed us to do. Then in verse 26, it says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. Great was its fall." You see, the only way to fulfill God's call for your life is to be a doer of the Word. Knowing alone is not enough, but knowledge coupled with application is the path to the wisdom of God. Now, as disciples, we're not called to remain as children, but to mature into disciples. A disciple is a follower devoted to the cause of Christ and is actively testifying what the Lord is doing in him and testifying of what the Lord is doing through him, always giving the credit and the glory to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. When Jesus walked on the earth, he had many disciples. The first 12 disciples, Jesus also called them apostles. The apostles were the first to walk in the power and authority given to them by Jesus. As a result, many came to Jesus and became disciples as well. Remember when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples in Luke chapter 10? Well, listen to what they said when they returned to give an account of their mission. And in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 17, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.'" And then he goes on to say, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions," and this is the demonic realm, "and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." How powerful that is. You see, we're called to be disciples. We're called to move in the power and the authority of given to us by Jesus Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, just as there were many disciples in Jesus' day, and not only the 12 apostles moved in the power of the Holy Spirit, but other apostles did, as we've just witnessed, the 70. Now, Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, prior to him giving his life on the cross of Calvary, is an important prayer for us to take a look at. It's very instructive for us. In this chapter, Jesus prays for himself as he prepares for the purpose that he came to earth, to die on the cross for men's sin. You know, some people say that when Jesus was born in the manger, he was being prepared for death upon the cross of Calvary. But after praying for himself, Jesus then prays for his disciples, the apostles, the 12. But wonderfully, the third part of this prayer, Jesus prays for all of those who will come to know him in the future, which includes us. So let's look at John 17, verses 1 through 5. Jesus prays for himself. "And Jesus knows that he has completed the work that he was sent for, and now he will return to the Father to be seated at the right hand of the Father." And what is he doing at the right hand of the Father? The Word tells us he's making intercession for you and for me. The path back to heaven for Jesus was through the cross of Calvary. And in these verses, Jesus gives all the glory to the Father on all the work that he had done on earth It was all about bringing eternal life to those who would choose to know the Father through Jesus. In verse 4, he says, I have glorified you on the earth. I finished the work which you have given me to do. In the very same sense, we as disciples of Christ, our purpose is to glorify the Father on earth and to complete the work which he has given us to do. Then Jesus prays for his disciples in verses 6 through 19. That's John 17. And in this case, he's praying for his 12 apostles. And in his prayer is that they would continue to glorify the Father. His prayer is that they would not be taken out of the world, but be protected from the evil one. And of course, the evil one is Satan and his dominion and his demons as well. Now, Jesus says the following, beginning in verse 16. Speaking of the disciples, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then he says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. You see, they were to continue in power ministry, which would be evidence of the presence of God and glorify the Lord as well. Then he goes on chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. And this is where he prays for us. And I mean those believers in the future. Remember Peter's message in Acts 2, verse 38? You know, he was preaching, Peter, it's his first sermon, and his first sermon to the multitude. And he says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, living, dwelling in you. For the promise is to you, those that he was speaking to, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now that expression, afar off, is not an expression of distance, but an expression of time. In other words, sometime in the future. That's why we can claim this for ourselves. Then Jesus goes on to say, I do not pray for these alone, meaning his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is now speaking about us, that we would be one in him. And then he goes on to say, and the glory, in verse 22, then the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, how is the world going to know that? The world will know that because of our faith in Jesus Christ. The world will know that because they see a difference in us. The world will know that because God working through us can move in signs, wonders, and miracles. And when we move in signs, wonders, and miracles, no one can question that it has to be from God. His love is so powerful. Remember John 3:16. It's a reminder of his great love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then he goes on in John 17, beginning in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. You see, we are no longer of this earth, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is available to us, not simply in heaven, but is available to us on earth. Because what's available in heaven is also available to us on earth. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Speaking of spiritual authority that we have. And then finally, in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Here's the point. Jesus performed signs and wonders to demonstrate that he was from God, because only God could heal the sick, heal the lame, restore sight to the blind, and raise the dead. As a matter of fact, just read Mark 2, verse 10, where Jesus says that the signs are evidence of the Lord at work. His disciples performed signs and wonders to demonstrate that God was at work on the earth today, or in those days. Today, as disciples of Christ, we're also charged to be the vessel through whom Jesus works, to perform signs and wonders, to see miracles. And all of this is for one purpose, to bring the non-believing world to Christ. Keep in mind that Jesus is our example, and he said he only did what the Father showed him to do. Well, we must also follow the pattern of Jesus. We need to spend time with the Lord with a particular emphasis on hearing and seeing what he wants us to do, so that the Lord would be glorified and all people would be drawn unto him. Let me remind you as I close, the Great Commission as it is written in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 14. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, speaking in tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You see, it's about preaching the word and demonstrating the word through signs and wonders. As believers, we have two tools or weapons at our disposal. The work that is accomplished through the Word of God, and the work that is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. Together, they are powerful for winning the lost, healing the sick, and bringing wholeness to a broken people in a broken world. And so my question for you as we close is, are you moving in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit? It's already present in you because the Holy Spirit lives in you. But you must, by walking by faith and not by sight, walking by faith, not by just trying to reason things out in your head, but be bold and demonstrate that God is who he said he is, and that Jesus is who he said he is. And so I just encourage you to move in a greater demonstration, if you will, not just simply by words, but by deeds, of what God is doing in your life and what God has called you to as a disciple of Jesus Christ. God bless you. May he richly bless your hand and everything you put your hand to. If you're a minister, may he richly bless your ministry and your families, that he would bless your families, and that you would be that example that Christ died for, that you would be. That you would be all that he has for you. Amen. Well, listen, God bless you. Again, I look forward to seeing you the next time. Amen.